Good evening, Sutton. Good evening, Palmer. This is Greg Gussie with our Art in the Valley show, and tonight's going to be pretty exceptional. We have Mayor Johnson here. We're going to talk a little bit about art and making Palmer a art destination in Alaska. And we have Logan Bean here, internationally renowned blower of horns. And he also brought with us a couple of clips from this past week in Juneau with the Overbees, one of our valley's more favored musicians, Overbee family. And we also need to bring up that this weekend is the Josh Ritter concert at the Matanuska College's new Glenn Massey Theater. Josh Ritter is I think Mike Molesky put it best, internationally renowned a musician, well worth your time. The only one that Whistling Swan has coming up this summer that I even more want to go to is Keb Mo, because that's my kind of thing. So we're... I should also mention that I'll plug myself, have a show over at Sally's Red Beat starting on Tuesday, and we'll probably have an opening reception Friday. And I think that's about all I know that's happening in the near future. Mr. Molesky is shaking his hand. The engineer has told me that I'm okay on that. How about you, Logan? Do you know of anything happening?
That sounds good to me. I just wanted to mention, too, that our own Anna Lynch is opening for Josh Ritter. We just found this out a few days ago while we were in Juneau. So she's one of Anchorage's best, and she'll be getting the show going.
Excellent. And I can't think of anything more to say on that subject, so we're going to move right on over here to Mayor Johnson, who I'm going to call Delina from here on in, because that's too many words for me. Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, I could also mention that we also have city council meetings every other Tuesday, and that's kind of like being at the improv.
I think that wasn't funny.
A night at the improv, anyway. Politics and art.
And that is a viable thing. There is no art that is not political. You cannot make a statement that as a human being that is not political. And art is a form of communication to make those statements. Some art may be more political than other art. And so we're going to go right into Palmer, which I have been working at, and so have you for many years, as Palmer as an art destination. How do we go about achieving that? What would be the first thing you would?
Well, I think there's a lot of people around in the community and around the area that have some great talents. So first of all, we have to get them to actually bring those into Palmer and then let people know about it. So
how could the city enhance that? How could the city help us accomplish that?
Well, I think there's one thing that we've done recently is we established the arts. How the title is the community. Let's see, Parks, Rec, and Culture Board. So that'll be 7 members and. They will be looking at exactly that. How can they expand kind of the cultural, the recreational, and, kind of public space opportunities in Palmer?
Will they have money? That's always a good question.
Well, it's always a good question. We haven't got the board seated yet, and we certainly are going into our budget this fall. So they do have some money for grant. We have our mini grant program. It's been kind of an economic stimulus, just small grants, $500 to $1,000. But they'll have some money. But they'll certainly be able to make policy recommendations. I guess I don't know if they'll have money, but the city will, continue to. We fund the Palmer Museum, and They've been instrumental in a number of things, but Palmer's been, I think Palmer's been pretty good about what little money that we do have, that we put a significant amount towards art and culture.
I only mention that because, you know, growing up in, I was in New York when the advent of Soho came about, and Soho was directly part of the city's pursuing artists and giving artists special rent and space possibilities. Say, for instance, like a building like the, say the old senior center would be the city, New York City would take a space like that and allow artists low rent for, say, studio space. Or they took restrictions on commercial spaces and allowed artists to set up studio lofts that they lived in. And, of course, this meant a tremendous resurgence of that neighborhood and a gentrification of a old neighborhood. In fact, so much so that you can watch Cadillac commercials now with Cadillacs going right by Finelli's Cafe, where I used to hang out with all my other poor friends. As we went about making art in Soho, long before any of us could afford a Cadillac, so I'm hoping that there's a way that we can get the city to, is there a way to get the city more involved with the artists directly, rather than, I mean, currently, the city's involvement is through the local businesses, other than the museum.
And maybe that's appropriate. I'm not sure you want to get the city too involved in anyone's art, because we all know what government, almost anything, looks like at the end of the day.
Well, I guess especially here. And what did you refer to our city council as? Some kind of art, performance art.
Performance art, yes. That's right.
Yeah, right here in downtown Palmer. The and you mentioned the museum. Of course, you had a long history with the museum before you became mayor, I guess I did too. But the
you were on the board.
I was on the board for
5
a while.
Minutes.
Well, no, about 2 years actually. But
I was there for 10 minutes. No, I was on the board. I was president of the board, and then I was executive director for a while. But it was a slow process. Right now, it's been taken to kind of a new level with the Art Walk, and Selena at the museum has just made some significant, her outreach has been really something. And to see, like, Saunders McNeil's most recently had her, I think she still has her art piece there, which I forgot, Paradox is the name of it. Anyway, 9,000 eggs that are somehow...
7,000 plus.
Well, give or take a few. Maybe she has 2,000 backup eggs.
Probably.
So, some of those things like that, there was just never any place, there wasn't any place for Palmer to even show something like that, say even 10 years ago, and maybe not even a desire to see that. So Palmer's really moved into there's a new sensibility, I think, about a desire to see art of all kinds, and music, performance art, the two-dimensional, three-dimensional art, yeah, of all kinds.
Visual arts, yeah. The museum, certainly under Selena, has done a great job in, as you said, their outreach, especially to the commercial enterprises. I found that very interesting. The Art Walk is less about artists than the businesses that are used to support the arts, or the arts used to support the business. It's one of those good things where artists play for free.
I know, that is kind of the hard part about artists. Somehow it seems like they don't get paid as well as they should, because
I think respect is the word.
Yes.
We don't get much respect.
Don't get as much respect as you deserve. Well, I will say, one of the things about Palmer that I think is... as you kind of peel back the layers and you get to know people more and more, you realize how many different art organizations there are around here. And of course, they're just people that join together and maybe paint or do something, you know, at Vagabond here or there or around town. But then there's the Palmer Arts Council, and there's the Valley Fine Arts Association. I almost hate to start naming names because I know I'm going to miss people, but there's just a significant number of people that just get together and do art for the sheer pleasure of joining together and enjoying each other, and then and doing art, sharing their ideas. And then they have been really generous in allowing their art to be shown in the local businesses. So there is a good marriage, I think, between the businesses, not just Art Walk, but just overall of having local artists sharing their space in the business. And we found, I'm sure, that that enhances people's enjoyment when they come in to purchase something. They also get to have an experience as well.
And again, I give Selena great kudos on what she's accomplished. Now, you've mentioned the Parks and Rec, or whatever it's called. I've watched that show on TV, I think.
Culture. It has culture in there, too.
Well, and that's what happened with the Palmer Museum of History and Art. Isn't that curious? But the in a similar vein, will that new board have the museum has a relationship with the local organizations like, you know, Valley Fine Arts or Valley Arts Alliance or the Palmer Arts Council, and even, you know, into Anchorage with Rasmussen and those folks. Will this new board have relations, or is there anywhere else in the city government that there are relations with the various arts groups?
The way I envision this board, and of course it will take on its own personality, I'm sure, but we do have public spaces that maybe the park or some of our trails. I'd love to see a cultural trail that was discussed at the museum, and even as far back as I think in 2007 in our latest comprehensive plan, there was discussion of having, you know, a trail downtown that could have perhaps some three-dimensional art pieces that could either tell a story of our history. They could just be a standalone art piece. But so when you are out and you're walking from one end of town to the other, it's not just about, well, we got to go from point A to point B, but in that going from point A to point B, you would have different places along the trail that would, you could either have an interpretive piece or, you know, just an outrageous art piece or something. But that would be, in addition to downtown, it could potentially tell the history of downtown, but it also could be, it enhances the community well-being and just that sense of place. And so that, you know, kind of that placemaking is what I hope to see this this board take on as our public spaces, and how art, culture, and just everyday being can join together.
Well, you know, this dovetails directly into a project I've been working on for several years, what I call the Palmer Centennial and Alaska Railroad Memorial Statue, which I hope we have built by July 7th of 2016 on the 100th year of our city. And that has something to do with railroad. You know, I'm going to throw that out there. What about railroad tracks? What do you see as that's addition to our art world?
Wow, that's a really
They used to have an art train.
Yeah, there was the art train. That's actually one of the things that really was as kind of a standout. Probably the last train that came to Palmer, if I'm not certain about that, but with one or two of the last trains that came to Palmer was the art train for certain. Well, one thing you say about the railroad tracks is there is a large right-of-way. Some people have described the railroad as a real estate company with a few pieces of rolling stock. And when you look at the size of the right-of-way that we have in Palmer and all along the railroad tracks, you can see why they might say that, just because it's a big space. But right now it just is right down through the middle of town, and since we have no train coming in, unfortunately, and I'm not sure when that will happen, we can still celebrate the fact that it was an integral part of our history. And it's a place that we can also use that large space to start to talk about maybe doing that cultural trail alongside the railroad tracks or in that general vicinity.
The railroad has been pretty generous with allowing Palmer to use that right away to a degree.
Well, we do pay for it. We do pay rent to lease that area. So it is most of the part and from, I believe, Evergreen. Downtown is, we do have the site control of that by leasing it. But they do have to approve things that go on that area, too.
Well, I guess that means my statue has a place to stand.
It has to have a place to stand if it's approved. And we have approved by the Alaska Railroad, and I'm certain that we can find a place for it.
Okay, well, I'm going to be coming to the City Council in short order just for that. Councilman Combs arranged that, so you'll be seeing me, Mayor.
All right. Well, you'll have a special place at the Improv.
Well, there you go.
All right.
I'll have to sing and dance. Well, Logan, you're from a different generation. Well, actually, I guess I'm different from Delana as well. Do you want to interject some into this? What do you think about art in Palmer?
Well,
you also work here.
I do. I work here. I grew up here, and I'm back after being gone for a long time. So I have been performing quite a bit of music lately. And when I first came back a few years ago to the area, to the state, I was living in Anchorage and doing all my music in Anchorage, and then I moved out here last winter. And since then, it's been pretty surprising to me how quickly it seems like the music scene in Palmer is growing. I actually live right up next to Mad Hatcher on Palmer Fishhook.
I haven't seen you over at any of the Jeremiah Millen's jams yet. I
haven't made it to one of those yet. Usually I'm having band practice in Anchorage on those days. But
do you play bluegrass?
Well, as of this weekend, I think I've gotten a few more bluegrass chops. I play trumpet, so it's a little hard to fit in with that usually. But I was just in Juneau for the Folk Fest down there, and that was an amazing experience. But about Palmer, I think it's pretty exciting what's going on up there at Mad Hatcher. There's just tons of stuff happening all the time, music related. They've got the Thursday night open mic, and all kinds of musicians have been coming out of the woodwork for that, including some musicians from Anchorage, but a surprising number from the Valley too. Then we've got a lot of bands playing there on Friday and Saturday nights. All kinds of good stuff. Rob is arranging a couple of festivals, one in June and one in August, that are going to take place at Mad Hatcher. So what I'm seeing there is that there's a lot of support and there's a lot of audience that is willing to come out from all the way across the valley up to Fishhook. And while I know there is a lot of stuff happening in downtown Palmer as well, I'd like to see more of that. I think this place needs a bigger and better venue that's more dedicated to music. And my idea for a while has been to have a place that's a performance venue with lots of room for audience and that it could be used or patronized by minors as well as, what do you call it, majors? Everyone else. Because growing up, the biggest problem for me was that I couldn't play for a casual audience legally until I was 21. And that was a real, drawback to trying to learn how to perform. I mean, I was touring with a band around the state as an 18-year-old, and nobody asked any questions about how old I was. But my friends couldn't come to see me play, and there's no social gathering place in Palmer that is, besides Vagabond Blues, basically, that is a comfortable setting for all ages to just get together and listen to music.
Well, I do notice that behind the Palmer Ale House, of course, it's a kind of summer thing, but that's becoming a place.
Yeah,
Overbeats have played there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love that. That venue is really great, but it's weather contingent.
Yeah,
and
weather contingent.
It's only in the summer. So my vision is to have a place, actually an establishment that has regular performances of all types of music. There'd probably be some kind of food component and possibly, like a restaurant-style beer and wine license where miners could actually be there. And then also have a private lesson teaching area or a space that could be used for group ensemble, kind of like a practice space for group classes or for kind of workshop-style stuff like that.
I know Josh Freifogel is also working on something of that nature. And, of course, as I brought us into this, the idea of a community center in Palmer has been very much on my mind for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I keep looking over there at the old senior center going, that's perfect. It even has restaurant-type facilities. So it would be a wonderful place. I'll have to work on the mayor on that.
Well, I had my sights set on that building that just got flattened.
Oh, you don't want to poison young people with asbestos and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering about it for the last few years. I'd see it sitting there empty, and I'm like, man, that could be a
apparently
good spot,
something's happened with the morgue, too.
Yeah, they have the annex there, and I mean, it doesn't look like much difference from the outside, but wow, step inside that, and it's just like a whole new, well, it's like a brand new building. It's amazing. Beautiful.
And that's Annex 2.
I don't know. It's a place that's like the boardroom in Anchorage where you can go and just spend an hour or two and do your computer work, or you can subscribe and sit and they have a little coffee area, or you could actually rent an office or meeting room. It's just a great little gathering place.
Oh, excellent. Maybe evening's music might be right on there.
I should talk to Eric about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, it'd be a great location, actually, for that.
Perfect. Well, music is an art form that I greatly appreciate. Only one of many. That's my problem. I'm diverse.
I was thinking, you're talking about the sense of place too, you're definitely right about all the things you're talking about with the sort of art trail or the just having our local art on display. There's lots of different things you can do to create that sense of place. And as a musician, of course, I think that music can do the same thing. I think it's a real strong community binder, and the music of an area certainly has some kind of, when you hear it all as a body of work, there's definitely some kind of identifying factor.
As I was walking out the door, I have daughters that are 23 and 20, and as I was going out the door, and I said, I'm going to go talk about art, and they said, well, talk about music. We really need to have more music in Palmer.
Oh,
so
great.
This is exciting. I'm glad that you're here, because I mean, that was their pitch was, let's talk, make sure that there's more music in Palmer. And I know that we've talked about, just on and off, there not being a 4th of July event in Palmer, and that maybe that's a possibility of having a 4th of July music event in downtown in honor of our friend Eric, that his birthday's on the 4th of July. And we've talked about it. It hasn't really taken wings yet, but it's something I'd really love to see.
Well, I would too. Of course, I'm primarily a visual artist, and as much as we don't have a central venue for music, we have no central venue for visual arts either. Of course, there's the coffee shop notion with Vagabond Blues, but even the museum has to squeeze into a small room in the library, their what's growing visual art collection. I know they have one of my photographs, and it's hard to see. The it's I'm important to me. My wife always gets upset
is.
About that. Everyone is important to me. Yes.
Oh, to them themselves.
But yeah, there's no place. Well, there's no place for a lot of things. There's no place for a group of writers or poets really to get together. They can maybe sit at a table at Vagabond Blues or squeeze around a plastic table from Lowe's or whatever at David's Fireside Books, but in general, there's no meeting place. And until the Yak opened up, there was nothing for children whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's, they could hang out, I guess, at the skate park if the weather was right.
Well, now we have a bike park.
Okay, bike
that's,
park.
The that's
bike
also park, an improvement. Yeah. But not art related.
Well, it's, we don't have, we have no gallery spaces of any sort.
But, you know, one of the things that I like to think is as we are a very small downtown area, and that is what makes it so intimate and enjoyable to be in, that we can do more and more things outside. And while a lot of it's weather dependent, and we can maybe find our places to sneak in when it's, because sometimes the wind blows in Palmer.
Really?
Not if you've only been here for a year, you didn't blow this year. But anyway, there's places outside that I think that we can tell our story as far as our history and our art, but you're absolutely right. Like the Wearable Arts Show, what a amazing, and I think that's definitely a destination art type of event that Palmer has that brings in lots and lots of people. Just a standout example, but they're filled with overflowing. So we have to find a way to either find a bigger venue or do some of those things outside. And that's where we've talked about, like I said, we've talked about statues and some of the, even around the depot, having a gathering place there.
Okay, well, we're just about to go to station break, and we're going to continue on this discussion for a bit. And I think right when we get back from station break, we're going to have Logan pull out his horn and play us some music. I would like that. Okay, Mike?
You are listening to KVRF, Radio Free Palmer. We are a member-supported radio station, and we want to thank all of the members who make this station possible. Big Cabbage Radio, because of you.
Well, we're back from our station break. We're still serving, if you'd get your horn, trumpet, I guess, would be the appropriate term, but I like horn. Horn covers so many things. I like cornets and French horns too. Where was I? I just lost myself. Not that that's unusual. At least I got a good audience to laugh. So Logan's gonna is known for his horn playing, and
he has two horns.
He has two horns.
Yes.
He's a regular, what's his name? Roland Kirk, Yosef Lateef, or whatever. It's, going to do two at once? No, I don't think so. Yeah, it's two horns. And he's got a plumber's helper with him, too. So, which I don't know if he knows that that's a plumber's helper.
What does it say on it?
Yeah, that's for you folks that don't have the visual. Yeah, the visuals, of course, plumber's helpers used to make an impression on a toilet when it's, full up. But apparently it can also be used as a good mute for a horn. So are you ready, Logan?
Well, you only gave me 10 seconds to figure out what I was going to do. So.
Oh, no, I gave you days. I asked you about this a week ago. These, guests that make excuses. Okay. When you're ready.
Oh!
said. Just made that up. But.
Well, you can. You want to take a break for a minute? We'll talk some more when you can think about the next piece you want to do.
Sure.
Okay. So, can you tell us how you became a horn player? It seems a very intimate and soulful sort of instrument.
Well, I was 7 years old, and a good friend of my parents and I at that time, and still now, Mary Lefevre, she was actually my first teacher, but she somewhat sneakily conned me into picking up the trumpet by asking me to store it for her, and she was moving things around in her house, and she needed some space, so I, very responsibly took it and kept it in a very safe place, and then one day asked my dad if she thought I would mind if I tried it out, and of course he said, "Oh, I don't think so," and he taught me the first few notes and went from there. So here I am. That was about, tomorrow I'll be 28, so 21 years ago. It's taken me quite a few amazing places.
I guess. It's, as I said, at least the way you play it seems very soulful and intimate, which is different than what I expected was more like a marching band, which is in your face rather than letting you crawl into the music.
I can do a little of that too.
I would suspect you seem to have quite a range with the instrument. So you started 21 years ago, and in the style of horn that you play, what would you call it? Anything, or are you?
The style of music or the
that you mostly play?
Well, anything, yeah. I play anything and everything that I can. I went to school for I went to 2 years of high school at Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. That was my junior and senior year of high school, and that's when I really formalized my classical studies. Then I went from there to the Hart School in Connecticut and continued as a classical major through college, and all the whole time, on the side I was playing in jazz ensembles and stuff too, so I was kind of casually learning jazz as I went. Since then I haven't really done much with classical, and aside from occasional gigs in Anchorage that I get called up for. I love doing those. I played the Messiah the last 3 years with the Anchorage Concert Chorus, and that was really fun. But I've been in a couple bands in Alaska since I came back, and the first one was Super Frequency. It was kind of a original funk rock band. We toured all over the state, several summers in a row, and that was really fun. And now I play with the Super Saturated Sugar Strings. That's my main gig, and again, we've been touring all over the state and having a great time and gaining lots of momentum. And took a tour to Portland in January, and that has been awesome. And I feel like I've been learning a whole lot playing with groups like those, because they are types of music that I'd never really played before. So
now that was, you were in Juneau just with that group, right? This last week,
I just went to Juneau with the Overby Family Band, otherwise called Ode to the Roadies, that was the first time I'd ever played with them, and that's another type of music I'd never really played much. It's kind of a old fashioned jug band, sort of has some Dixieland and 20s jazz.
You have two people on clarinet, of course.
That's really fun. I was a little nervous going into it, but I think we pulled it off and had a great time.
Well, since we're there, can we hear a piece from Juneau?
Sure.
We'll ask Mike to bring that up, and we'll hear what you sound like.
We may
never invite you back again.
This is from the main stage at the Juneau Folk Festival.
I was smoking up a nice cigar. I was waiting for some handout or to catch an empty car. Dear freight train come rolling by, but my wait was in vain. Back home, you dirty bum, man, catch another old freight train. If you wanna be a little friend of mine, bring you with you when you come. I've been laying around some little
Well, I guess that was that. I think our mics are still off.
They're on.
They're on. Okay. And we're back. We're back on here.
I forgot I was actually playing a baritone on that one.
Well, that's perfect for jug band.
Yeah.
I love the Overbeats music. Of course, they're a local band. If you've never had the opportunity to see them, the Overbeats live in Sutton or Chickaloon?
Yep.
Yeah, where's Chickaloon anyway? So I think that was our Senator Dunleavy asked that question once. You didn't get that mailer? Oh, okay. Well, we're not going to go into politics, but they're pretty great. I've seen them, and they play in town sometimes. I think they even do some, don't they do some First Friday? Friday Fling things, and I've seen them over there behind the Palmer Ale House, too. A wonderful group if you haven't seen them before. Now, are you going to be playing more with those guys?
I think so, yeah. I had a great time with them, and I've never danced so much in my life, too. There's tons of swing dancing and line dancing and all kinds of stuff like that. So,
super.
This is a great band to dance to. So.
Yeah, I would think so. That's the kind of music. And of course, Jason has the whole feel of it down so well. It's Jason's their kazoo player. Oh, and guitar.
Guitar, banjo.
I was teasing because he is their kazoo player. But excellent. Well, let's see. We have some more of that Overbeat music. We could bring that in, or we could ask the mayor if she has any comments about the Overbeats. Oh, well, there's silence, dead air, Delina.
I missed them when they were at the Ale House, so that's why I don't have the comments to make. Although they look like a fun family group.
They're just that. They're wonderful people. Mm-hmm. At least the little bit I know of them. And, you know, Jason was the model for the mini statue that Rose made for my railroad memorial.
For your railroad memorial.
And Palmer Centennial statue.
So I would like to see somewhere around the depot. I'd seen like little mini shells. And again, we're talking about outside venues, but just a little standalone mini shell where people could sit and, you know, play music, and I think that would just really be lovely.
Well, that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somewhere close to your statue.
Oh yeah, you could sing to the statue. Okay, are we ready for the next piece? Not quite. Why don't you point at me when you're ready? Well. There you go.
Okay, and we just got hooked, and we're gonna keep going back. You guys make it so nice. Okay, what are we doing? Okay.
What are we doing?
Here's a sad one for you guys.
Yeah.
Me, I'm feeling mighty lonesome. Me, I'm feeling mighty lonesome. My gal quit me and I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Ooh, 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 ooh,
Well, she even told me.
What'd she tell you?
From the start, if I go, it would break her heart. Every time I think about her, makes me feel so blue. Well, this morning I received that note.
You got a letter.
And this is what the note it had wrote. It said,
go on, boy, sing those blues with me. I'm as sweet as any girl can be.
She even told me to my face, what?
Any around us, she can take your place.
Yeah, all right.
I'm getting tired of your lockdown way. I'm going back to my baby day now. Go on, honey, you can't bluff her. When I tip out tonight, I'm going to strut my stuff. I mean, I'm going to strut my stuff.
Tell me I'm feeling so mighty lonesome. I'm feeling so mighty lonesome. My gal quit me and I don't know what I'm gonna do. Well, she even told me.
What'd she tell you?
From the start, if I go, it would break her heart. Every time I think about her, makes me feel so blue. Well, this morning I received that note.
I know how he read it.
And this is what the note it had wrote. It said,
gone, boy, sing those blues to me. I'm as sweet as any girl can be. She even told me to my face, what? Any around us show can take your place. Ha. I'm getting tired of your love down way. I'm going back to mine. Every day now, go on. Honey, you can't bluff her. When I tip out tonight, I'm gonna strut my stuff. I mean, I'm gonna strut my stuff.
Here we go, watch out.
Gone, boy, sing those blues to me. I'm as sweet as any girl can be. She even told me to my face, what? Any around this show can take your place.
Yeah, right.
I'm getting tired of your low-down way. I'm going back to my baby day now. Go on, honey, you can't bluff her. When I tip out tonight, I'm gonna strut my stuff. I mean, I'm gonna strut my stuff.
The Overbees excited us, and it was pretty obvious about Logan's horn in that that piece. That was as striking as violin. It's right out there in front. Now Logan's going to play another piece for us that he's imagining as we sit here. This is a true improv. It's going to beat the city council. Wonderful. You have to make a promise, Logan. When they're dragging my coffin through the streets of Palmer, would you lead the band? That's
absolutely great.
And I'm not even kidding. Well, that was super. So we need more of this on the streets of Palmer, as I was saying. And what could be better than a little jazz trumpet out there?
I actually have been talking with my bandmate Kat Moore about, I don't know if this is a surprise or not, but I guess Palmer's going to get to hear it first. We're putting together a guerrilla marching band, and it's going to show up who knows where, who knows
when. All right.
Oh, wonderful.
But we might just make an appearance out here someday.
That's even better than graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
So you know, be outside this summer in Palmer.
we'll do that. That's... Oh no, that's a wonderful idea, and
for anyone who's interested, please get in touch.
So when you say this guerrilla marching band, does that mean costumes or?
Oh sure, costumes. guerrilla costumes. Yeah. This is like a covert marching band.
But no street permits needed.
But it will be all levels and all anyone who's enthusiastic about it. Anything you can walk around with and play, bring it on. So we'll play some stuff like maybe what I just played or who knows what. So.
Now, what does Kat play?
Kat is the vocalist and keyboard and percussion player in the Super Saturated Sugar Strings.
I see.
And she also has her own solo stuff going. She's going to be doing a lot of that this summer.
I thought I had heard her name for some reason.
Yeah, she's... she's got some incredible songs, and she's half of the songwriting of the Sugar Strings is hers.
I see.
So
now, how do you balance this with working on computers?
Well, I usually just, I very graciously, beg Michael on my knees for the time off I need. And he, very graciously agrees pretty much every time. And
I see. Well, that's pretty
actually,
nice.
Usually,
of Michael.
Just say, "Hey, Michael, I got a gig today." He's like, "Okay,
yeah, so super."
Really, really, really appreciate that. It's a wonderful job to have, and I enjoy the work too. But it's great to have the flexibility.
I should mention that Logan works for Out of a Jam Solutions, which is, I guess, owned by Michael.
Michael Miller. Yep.
Yeah, and his soon-to-be wife Margaret Adsett is my surrogate daughter. So I guess that makes Michael my surrogate son-in-law. Ooh, I don't know if I want to go there. It's wonderful people, the wonderful outfit just up the street. So I guess we could be surprised at any time with the sound of, there's a little side thing by Catholic Social Services. There's a little outside patio sort of. Just out their back end, you could just sneak out there and blow that horn.
It'd yeah,
like something out of a 1930s movie. I'd like that so very much. So this is one of the beauties of Palmer. We have a mayor that will come down and sacrifice it to the radio gods and young people playing. Playing trumpets who plan to surprise us in the streets and the alleys. So our notion of a Palmer as an art destination isn't too far away in our hearts. So we just need to push it a little bit, make it happen.
I don't think it's too far away. I think it is an art destination in a lot of ways, but it's got a little ways to go. There's room for more artists, that's for certain.
This is true. And I think that's always the case. There's more room for art, and as I said, I'm hoping we can give a little impetus with monumental civic art, which the town doesn't have any, but none of
Balto.
We do have Balto, and Balto is as nearly as nice as Balto and Central Park. So Shows you just, you know, that we're right up there with New York City.
We have a bronze statue.
Yeah, we do.
We don't can't say that we don't have that.
No, we can't say we don't have it.
Something for the something for people's dogs to bark at. Apparently, he's so realistic that some people, when they drive by, the dogs bark at him. Just right outside the museum.
Especially
there.
If he's enhanced with his various clothing, seasonal clothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who does that.
Yeah, I don't know who does either. It's quite wonderful. The we still have a little bit of time. Do we have any more Overbees to listen to?
Well, we do have another duo, one of which was, well, both of which were actually playing with the music that you just heard. Ben Gallagher has his own songs, and he was playing the piano on that recording. And Alyssa Overby was playing with him.
Oh.
So they did a duo set, and if we can open up that other track, we could play a song from that.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And I have in front of me a CD produced by Ben Gallagher called Heart-Shaped Rocks, which I guess will be available soon. And we're pretty excited about that. This is from the... the AK Folk Fest in Juneau of April 9th, 2015. So this is very current and interesting, part of the expansion of our local talent. And I believe, as I said at the Radio Free Palmer meeting, one of the things we're doing here is providing opportunity. And we hope... more folks come on the radio. I hope that what I did to Logan doesn't scare you. And we hope Logan comes back as well, now that he's had it. So if you guys are about ready, looking intensely, it's an Apple computer. Okay, here we go.
We call it folk music. You can call it what you want. Should I plan my escape, plot my revenge, or plan all my rage in the garden? Swallow my pride or dig into this trench, finish this game that I started? Follow the path, stay on the trail, stick to these guns, oh, they're bound to fail. Climb up out of this rabbit hole, pull my anchor up and set sail. Cause I hear the hungry ghost, but I'm a lazy host. I hear the hungry ghost, but I'm a lazy host. To the top, cashing your time and your soul. Everybody's a pawn in somebody else's game. We can buy for what we want all the way to the bank. Yes, we can.
Well, That was pretty wonderful. I said, so reminiscent of an early Tom Waits. Though I don't think we're going to be hearing that piano on the streets.
Oh, he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. Oh, he's got a pump organ that he can bring around anywhere.
Okay.
I think he flew on the plane with that pump organ. And he also has a piano that he's willing to put in the back of a truck and bring anywhere it needs to go. So,
excellent.
Seen that in action yet, but.
Well, I think we have about a minute left. So I'm going to thank you, Logan, very, very much. And next time I'll give you a little bit more warning when you come on. Maybe, as I suggested, maybe you could bring one of your friends with you.
I would love to. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on the radio. I don't think I've ever done this before. So.
Well, me neither. And thank you so much, Delina, Mayor Johnson, for coming down and talking to us about art and Palmer. I know it's as important to you as it is to me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And I do get to be on the radio because the city council meetings are broadcast. The Night of the Improv. That's broadcast every Tuesday.
Yeah, well, you have the same engineer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to come down.
Thank you. And thank you, Mike Molesky, for once again running the board.
Woohoo.
And good night, everyone. Good night, Sutton.